welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio, brought to you by OU Israel. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. This show is for Parshat Vayikra. It is not a specially named Shabbat. We've just finished with 4 out of the last 5 Shabbatot, with the Arba Parshiot, the 4 special portions, Shkolim, Zachor, Torah and HaChodesh. Next week, Emir Tzashem, Shabbat HaGadol. Then comes Pesach, Shabbat Chol HaMoed, Pesach. But this one, Vayikra, is right there in the resting mode. However, it is different things for different people. And I will just mention that it is the Shabbat Ufruf of my soon-to-be son-in-law, the Shabbat Kala of my daughter, Ora. And I will play a song in their honor and give them a bracha for a happy married life. This show is being recorded and first broadcast on Yom Chamishi B'Shabbat Parshat Vayikra, Thursday, third day of the month of Nisan, 5767, the 22nd day of March, 07. Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tehiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmorya Adonai miya amod, ki imecha ha-salicha lama'an tivare. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro ho-cholti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mishomerim la-boker, shomerim la-boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbeimo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha umeyafela l'ora umishibud l'geula hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. I had made a comment a couple of weeks ago for Purim, how appropriate this prayer for our fellow Jews who are in difficult situations, and we ask God in this prayer to take them from tzara lirvacha, from afela, darkness, leora, to light, umishibud legeulan, from enslavement to redemption. And of course, that makes it particularly appropriate for Pesach time as well. We are past the midpoint between Purim and Pesach. Pesach is right around the corner. We definitely are well aware of its approach. And let's use that as a jumping off point before we take a look in Parshat HaShavua to make a comment on that wording in the Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael prayer, which spoke about being taken mishibud l'geulan, from darkness to light, etc. The summary, let's call it extract, that's what they call it in literature, of the whole story of the Exodus, which we are commanded to give over to the next generation at the Seder table, is encapsulated in what we say immediately after the child asks the traditional 4 questions. We say to him, Avadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim, vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu misham biyad chazaka uvizroa netuya. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God took us out. That's the whole story. I always feel, I might have mentioned this in the past, that it's like the parent who's asked to the kid going to sleep, tell me a story. All right, here's a story. Once upon a time, they lived happily ever after. Good night. That does not suffice a child, and of course it does not suffice our fulfillment of the mitzvah of telling over Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. But it is presented in that brief form, a couple of sections in the Haggadah later. We say it again, but in a different sense. We say there, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu, originally our ancestors were idol worshippers, V'achshav Kervanu HaMakom La'Avodato. And now, God, in contrast, God has brought us close to Him to serve Him. Both of these have parallels, which we could talk about, but it's the contrast between we were slaves to Paro and God took us out, between we were idol worshippers and now we are close to God to serve Him, is an important message of Pesach in particular, of Judaism in general. To put it a little differently, more than celebrating freedom, we are celebrating the transition, the coming out of slavery to freedom. And the reason this is an appropriate thing to respond to the four questions is that the four questions seem to imply that this is what is puzzling the child. He sees matzah, which he was just told at the Seder table with the passage Holach Ma'anya, that matzah is a symbol of slavery. It is slave's bread, poor person's bread, the bread of affliction. He then mentions that we eat vegetables all the time, but on this night the mitzvah is done with maror, bitter herbs. But then he mentions the luxurious dipping of karpas in salt water and maror in charoset, and the luxurious manner of eating, reclining on a couch rather than sitting up straight or sitting on the ground. That, say a lot of Haggadah commentaries, is what's sort of confusing the child. And he says, Manishtana, why is this night different from all other nights? The way this is put by many commentaries, including the author of a very lovely commentary called From Twilight to Dawn, where he says, the kid is not asking why Pesach Seder night is different from a week ago Monday. He's asking, he knows that answer, it's different because it's a Yom Tov, it's a Chag, it's a special thing, it's Pesach. He wants to know why this different night is different from all other different nights. Put this in a different way, a child could be puzzled or could ask on a Friday night when the table is set differently and it begins with the meal begins with Kiddush, and the challah cover over the bread, two loaves of bread rather than one or some slices or none at all. And there are many, many questions about Shabbat, yet we don't find the child in a formal manner asking on a Friday night why this night is different from all other nights. Ostensibly, the child already knows that there are weekdays and that there is Shabbat, and Shabbat is different. And when we go to shul on Yom Kippur, dressed in our Shabbat Yom Tov finery, but wearing sneakers, and men wearing a kittel, and people dressed in white, and then coming home, where the child almost would sense, what's next? Go to the table, make kiddush, and have a delicious meal, but he doesn't have that. So on Yom Kippur, you might expect the child to say, Manishtana halayla hazemi kol halaylot. Why is this night different from all other nights? And he would be entitled to ask it, and we'd be required to answer him. But again, according to this line of commentary, one would suspect that a child already knows that Yom Kippur is different from the rest of the year, and he wouldn't ask the question in that way. What puzzles him is Leil HaSeder, the Seder night, because he already is aware of things that are done to remind us of slavery and things that are done to remind us of freedom. And that needs an explanation. It's not the one-directional commemoration. Shabbat, day of rest, God created the world, rested on the seventh, and therefore we observe Shabbat. Okay, now I know why this night is different from all other nights. God commanded us to fast on Yom Kippur, it's a day of atonement, etc., etc., so I now know why this night is different from all other nights. But what throws the child for a loop, what throws him a curve, or whatever other trite expressions you want to use, is that this night, Pesach, seems to be sending out different signals. And the four questions, according to this presentation, are not really four questions. There's one question. The one question is, why is this different night all together different from all other different nights? And I'll give you an example of why I'm asking. We eat matzah only, we eat maror, but on the other hand, we have the dipping and we have the reclining. So he sees this contradictory kind of observance built in, and he's puzzled by it, and so he should be. So our quick answer, which we will elaborate upon, is Avadim Hayinu Lefaro b'Mitzrayim Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham ... We were slaves in Egypt and God took us out. That combination of facts is part of what we need to understand and to know and to appreciate. Then we have to bring up the other issue, and that is that the Avadim Hayinu Lefaro b'Mitzrayim part describes our physical situation, and it's the other dimension, the spiritual dimension, that is presented when we make the equally brief statement, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu, our ancestors were originally idol worshippers, and now God has brought us close to Him to serve Him. So that becomes like the basis upon which the rest of the story's details is filled in. But if you need to know the short of it, the short is Avadim Hayinu Lefaro b'Mitzrayim, and God took us out. The short is we went from being idol worshippers to being servants of God, the one God. I certainly hope my talking has just put you into the Pesach mood, but in case it hasn't done the complete job, let's listen to a track from an album by Avi Barak called Seder Pesach Benusach Rev Shlomo Kalbach, the Kalbach Seder album. And you will hear familiar words to familiar tunes, but putting them together is what makes it a Kalbach Seder tape. Did I say tape? I meant it in its more generic sense of album, of CD. You know that we will be calling CD albums tapes for a long time. Just like all of these years since we've gone over to push-button phones, we still say that we dial the telephone. Although, to be accurate about it, we don't dial the phone unless you're one of those diehards, nostalgic people who still have a rotary dial. But the rest of us are pushing buttons, and we still say, dial the telephone. And there are a lot of other words and terms which we use a lot that are anachronistic. I am most surprised, I can't say most surprised, I am surprised by CC at the bottom of a letter or the bottom of an email. CC means carbon copy, I think. When was the last time you made a carbon copy of anything? I think the only people that still use carbon paper are various older receipt books, but even some of them are the more modern kind of, I don't know what you call it, special paper that writes on the pages that follow it. But there are some people that actually still have carbon. I actually went into a store last week, bought something, paid by Visa, and instead of swiping it through the telephone kind of gadget and getting electronic approval for it, this lady put it into this old hand-done machine, put the three copies with two carbon papers between them into it, ran the thing manually across to make an imprint on the sheet, then had to phone in a voice request for approval of the charge card. Not too many people left who have that. So there are many, many things like it, but dial the phone is one of them, and listening to a tape when you mean an album, which is now on CD, is still listening to a tape. Without further ado, here is a track from Avi Barak from the Pesach Seder in the style of Shlomo Carlbach.
Faroi be Mitzrayim, Avodim Oyinu. Faroi be Mitzrayim, Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom beYod Chazoko. Yoytzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Beyod Chazoko Avodim Oyinu Lefaroi Bemitzrayim Faroi Bemitzrayim Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Beyod Chazoko Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Beyod Chazoko Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Beyod Chazoko Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Beyod Chazoko Avodim Hayinu Lefaroi Lefaroi Bemitzrayim Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Beyod Chazoko Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Beyod Chazoko Vizroya Netuyo
Avi Barak with a different kind of Avadim Hayinu than the one that we grew up with. Avadim Hayinu, Hayinu, like that. So you've got that, and you've got that, and Carlbach enthusiasts and all kind of people can borrow a lot from this particular album. It happens to be very lovely. Some of the more traditional songs I don't think people are ready to give up on. Dayenu will always be Dayenu in the traditional Dayenu tune, but maybe I have a narrow perspective on things. In any event, that's the story. And that's for the Pesach mood. We'll talk more shortly. With Vayikra being one of the pre-Pesach parshiot in regular years, meaning 12-month years with only one Adar, we find an interesting parallel. I think it's stronger next week in Tzav, but we have it here in Vayikra as well. And that is after the Torah presents various types of korbanot, sacrifices, it talks about minachot. Minachot are the flour and oil and spice and water offerings of different types and different methods of preparation. And one of the things it says in the Torah is kol hamincha asher takrivu lashem lo teoseh chametz. Any of the minachot, which needs an asterisk next to it, because there is one kind of mincha at least that does contain chametz cakes or chametz crackers, wafers, whatever you want to call them, in addition to matzah. But the overwhelming majority of that category of offering in the Beit HaMikdash followed matzah rules and was not allowed to be made chametz. So even though this is a calendar coincidence with Parshat HaShavua, I believe, as many people do, there ain't no such thing as a coincidence. And what we have here is, in the beginning of Nisan, when we're geared towards the non-chametz status of Pesach, a statement right out of the Torah in a different context, that of the Korban Minachot, that you are not allowed to make them chametz. Matzah is many things, and one of the things it represents is humility because of its lack of rising, like bread. Bread fluffed up with air is considered arrogant. On the other hand, we have a dafka, a specifically chametz offering on Shavuot, but that's almost magia lanu. In other words, it's appropriate, it's not appropriate, we'll say, of a lack of humility coming out of Mitzrayim, where we had sunk to such a low level of impurity there, until we went through that process of the 7 weeks on our way to Mount Sinai to receive the Torah, when we had a spiritual growth during that time. And only in that context, it seems, is the chametz offering of the Shtei HaLechem more appropriate. Anyway, we'll explore more of these things some other time. For now, let's continue on Vayikra and pre-Pesach. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio, and we're doing the Vayikra pre-Pesach show. When I say pre-Pesach, Amir Tzashem, there'll be another show next week before Shabbat HaGadol. That'll be the real pre-Pesach, so call this the pre-pre-Pesach. And, of course, if we were giving out various citrus fruits or other kind of fruits, they would be known as the pre-pre-pre-Pesach fruit. Just a joke, sorry. Let's listen to another track from that Avi Barak's Karlbach Seder album. This one, Dayenu. I mentioned it before, but I would like to speak about a certain idea that I heard from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman on a recent shiur that he gave, a shiur which we will be showing at the Israel Center, Mirtz Hashem, sometime next week. And I could talk about that later also, but let's hear Dayenu, Karlbach style.
Dai 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 d
We'll get back to Dayenu shortly. I want to cut in with a mini interview that I just had. We have a fellow working at the Israel Center, a Rabbi Avi Baumel, one of the new boys on the staff. He is director of communities in Israel and various different projects, PR, and a good shiur giver as well. However, my relationship with him goes back not with him personally, but with his grandfather. His grandfather was Rabbi Yosef Baumel, Zichrono Livracha, who was the principal of Yeshiva of Crown Heights, where I spent 9 years of my formative part of my life, back from early 50s to 61, and had been in touch with him on and off over the years. And it was a nice surprise to find out that one of my new colleagues at the Israel Center at OU Israel was none other than his grandson. I was able to point to the picture of the class of 61, which hangs on my wall in my office, and show him his grandfather from back then, before he was born. So, when he stepped into my office with his coffee in hand, I asked him to share a Dvar Torah related to the Seder, and he did, and this is what he said.
My grandfather, Rabbi Joseph Baumel, Zichrono Tzadik Lebracha, always mystified about the specific piece of Maaseh, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, שהיו מסובים בבני ברק והיו מספרים בציע מצרים כל אותו הלילה עד שבאו את המדיהם ואמרו להם רבותינו הגיע זמן קריאת שמה של שחרית. It's generally looked upon as a nice story which talks about how great it is that rabbis can sit and discuss the mitzvah סיפור יציאת מצרים the whole night. But my grandfather had two problems with it. Number one, we weren't talking about just average individuals, average rabbanim who plan to decide to spend Pesach together. This is Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, the famed Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, these are the leaders of Jewry at that stage. How's it possible that they all left their kihilot, they left their families, they left everything, and they all got together in Bnei Brak to sit and to spend Pesach together? Secondly, it's a more bizarre situation. They're sitting there, these are the Gedolei Hador, and they're doing a Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden you hear a knock on the door, and the students come up to him and say, Rebbeim, we're nervous that you're going to miss Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit. Is it possible? What chutzpah? Can't be. There must be a different reason, must be a different understanding of this story. My grandfather explained that the story is a metaphor for the situation of Bnei Yisrael in the second century, and one of the more difficult times of the first century, one of the most difficult times of Jewry until that point. What was the reason that all these Rabbanim are sitting together? Because they experienced the Churban. They experienced the persecution. Rome had destroyed them, had decimated them. And now they were sitting there and wondering to themselves, is there going to be a future? All they could muster up was to get together and talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim, the past. They would love to tell stories. At that dark moment in Jewish history, all these great rabbis could do was revel in the past and think about the great moments that they had, but never dawned upon them there could still be a future. The rabbis got together, they huddled up to try to figure out, is there a plan for the future? Is there a dawn that they can look forward to, that they can see is a way to get through this malaise? Lo and behold, Ad Shabau Talmideim. Then they saw it. They saw the answer. They realized what the future brings, what the future holds. They still have Talmidim. They still have kids who were standing. All of a sudden, they look around and they saw hundreds and hundreds of students who came to be mitavek b'afar Talmidei Chachamim, who came to say, we are the future. We are the ones, we want to continue on. It'll be a struggle, it'll be difficult, there are obstacles, but we are your future. V'amru lahem rabotenu, the rabbis said to themselves, if that's the case, we can now pray the morning tefillah, the prayer of the dawn, higiyaz mein kriyat shema shel shacharit. In their darkness, amidst the trauma and the crisis, they saw the future, they saw the ability, the spark of their students, of the next generation, and that's why they were able to recite Shema, the beautiful prayer, the beautiful picture of the future, together and with good spirits. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.
Thank you, Rabbi Baumel. Thank you, Avi. I might have mentioned this last week, but I'll getting more into it, so I'll tell you about it again. We were approached by Torah Conferencing Network, the people who arrange for major shiurim in the United States, which are very popular to be simultaneously broadcast to many different locations in the States. Rabbi Yisachar Frand is one of their popular speakers, so is Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. And I had heard of both of those. I had heard tapes, and that time I mean real tapes, of both of those speakers. And what we were approached for is not to do a live broadcast, because that would necessitate having people here at about 4 in the morning, but we decided to do it on a delay, a couple of hours or even a couple of days, but still have the fresh shiurim. Rabbi Yisachar Frand gives a shiur on Thursday night. I could already download it Friday morning. We could play it, we could show it, because it's a video also, nice large screen broadcast. We can video cast, we can show it on Motzoi Shabbat or Sunday. We experimented. This week, it was last night, Wednesday night, that we showed a Yisachar Frand shiur from the previous Thursday night, and it was wonderful. People really enjoyed it. You saw people sitting there taking notes, and someone said it's like being in the audience. That's how good the quality of the recording is, and the clarity of the presentation. And the content is very good. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, who I had previously heard on recordings that are made of his shir, a very popular Motzoi Shabbat shir that runs from Shabbat Bereshit until Shavuot. I recorded two of them, I downloaded two of them so far, and we will be playing those, one of them, one day next week, and maybe a second one next week as well. And I anticipate this program building in popularity, because there are people who recognize the names. And last night, I asked someone, how come you came? He says, I'm from Baltimore. What'd you expect me, not to come to hear Rabbi Franz speak? Of course, we run a risk whenever we advertise these things of people coming in and saying, where's Rabbi Franz Shear? And we have to disappoint them by saying it's on video. Look at the notice. It says video presentation. It says video here. We try to say it two or three times in a notice so that people really pay attention to it. Be that as it may, on listening, watching one of the Rabbi Reisman Shiurim of last week, he presented something which captivated me. I thought it was a beautiful presentation, and it relates to the Dayenu that we sing at the Seder. He said, and he was quoting all kind of other people, and you really can't do, I can't do justice to it without you actually sitting in and watching the entire shiur. But this is the part that I am extracting to share with my listenership now. Pesach represents God saying to the people of Israel, you are my people, and I am taking you out. You will be my nation. It does not say, you will be my tzaddikim, my righteous people. It doesn't say, you will be my mitzvah doers, my Torah practicers, my Torah learners. That comes. It comes later. Sequentially, it comes 7 weeks after we got out of Egypt, and we celebrate that with the holiday of Shavuot, and that is our Zman Matan Torah Tenu, the time of the giving and receiving of the Torah. Pesach is before that, but it is something special in and of itself. Put it another way that Rabbi Reisman put it, we're talking about a people that had sunk to Mem Tet Sharei Tuma, 49th level of impurity out of 50. And they certainly, you know, what made them worthy of being taken out of Egypt was not their own merit, except that they were willing to commit themselves to God. They believed in God, and not all of them. We have a tradition that 80%, 4/5, out of the Jewish population in Egypt did not make it out of Egypt. They died off there in the plague of darkness or whatever. So the 20% that came out to be the number 600,000 plus men plus children and women and children, maybe a population of 2 million, represented only a fifth of the total population. But we weren't yet worthy, as we were at Sinai, to receive the Torah, as we were subsequently, and we've had our ups and downs, of course, over the generations and centuries. But what made us worthy of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus being taken out of Egypt, is our willingness to believe in God and follow Him. That's it. And he says that's what Pesach celebrates, not the receiving of the Torah, and it's purposely separated from it. That's what's expressed in Dayenu. Ilu hotzianu mi Mitzrayim, if you would have just taken us out of Egypt. Velo, I'm skipping over a lot of them, kervonu lefnei har Sinai, and not brought us to Mount Sinai, or not given us the Shabbat, and not given us yet to the Torah, and not even splitting the sea. That was all later. But ilu hotzianu mi Mitzrayim, and nothing else, that would be enough for us to say, we appreciate what you did for us. We are your people. You are our God. That was his plan, and that's the part that we acknowledge. Later, after the Dayenu poem song talks about the different phases of the Exodus and the crossing of the sea and the splitting of the sea, etc., etc. Then we come to Shabbat, which represents the preview of the Torah which we were to receive. Then Kervanu Lifnei Har Sinai, the approach to Mount Sinai, followed by the receiving of the Torah, the being brought to Eretz Yisrael, and having a Beit HaMikdash. That is all part of phase 2, or phase 2, 3, 4, and 5. Phase 1, getting out of Egypt because we believed in God, because we are His people. Let me jump back into Parshat Vayikra. This is something that I have spoken about in different contexts, but here's its source. I read you the pasuk before about all korban mincha, almost all mincha, lo teyaseh chametz. A couple of psukim later, we have an interesting verse which has reference to salt 4 times. And if you look in the whole Torah, you don't find many references to salt. V'chol korban minchatcha bamelach timlach, on all the offerings that you give, you shall salt them with salt. V'lo tashbit melach brit elokecha, you shall not go against the covenant of salt, which is an eternal covenant with God. Me'al minchatcha, from putting it on your korbanot, on your offerings, al kol korbancha takriv melach. Again, repeating, on all sacrifices, on all offerings, you shall put salt. So I want to address the issue of salt briefly, but in a couple of different ways. One, the commentaries point out that salt is a preservative. It prevents things from spoiling. Salt itself does not spoil. And that combination makes it a symbol of a certain preservation of the Jewish people and of itself, of Torah in general. Torah, Shabbat, but Torah preserves the Jewish people. Torah itself doesn't spoil. And there's a lot of drash you could add to that. There's another aspect to salt. Oh, I should say first also, just on a practical level, our custom to salt the bread of Hamotzi is a reminder of this mitzvah of salting offerings, but it carries with it the message that our mundane act of eating is more in Judaism than feeding one's face. It is adding an element of spirituality to the mundane activities such as eating. Shulchan domeh lemizbeach. Our dinner table is compared with the altar, the mizbeach upon which we offered sacrifices to God. That's an important goal of the Jew, to take the Beit HaMikdash, the holy temple kind of activity, and internalize it and personalize it and practice it on a day-to-day basis. It's not the same, but it's an important part of the message too. There was a menorah giving light in the Beit HaMikdash. We have light in our homes, and of a religious nature, we have the Shabbat candles and Hanukkah candles and a Yahrzeit candle and a Havdalah candle and a Bedikat Chametz candle. So the use of a flame is, in one way of looking at it, a borrowing from the Beit HaMikdash. In any event, here's the other aspect that I wanted to share with you. Not only is there salt on every offering in the Beit HaMikdash, but the salt must come from the communal fund, the one that is financed by the half-silver shekel collected from all Jews. The point is that a communal offering, the Korban of the day or the Musaf of Shabbat and Yom Tov, of course comes from everybody. But even a private individual's Korban has one tiny part of it, the salt that's a requirement, that is from everybody. There is no such thing in the context of the Beit HaMikdash as I, me, and myself only. because I am part of Klal Yisrael. I am part of the Jewish nation. The goal is to be an active part, a constructive part, a productive part of the Jewish people. But all Jews are part of that, even down to just that grain of salt. This fact has always given me a strong feeling towards the mitzvah of the salt on the korbanot, and I think it's an important observation or insight, however you want to call it. We are quickly running out of time. I had hoped for more. Maybe I will add to it for the archived version and for the OU radio version. But for this issue of Torah Tidbits Audio in its first format, all I have time to say, in addition to Shabbat Shalom and Chodesh Tov, is to wish my daughter Ora and her Chatan Noam Bracha, Hatzlacha, and Mazal, long, happy, healthy life together. Much